This is Paul Gough
on ABC Radio Adelaide, South Australia and Broken Hill.
Well, when you think of young minds dealing with a lot that's going on in the world at the moment, that we're bombarded by the news, we're bombarded by COVID-19, we're bombarded by so many different things. And to take that all on board can be a very difficult thing. And I guess as parents, it's our role to sit and unpack that. But what happens if, as parents, we're arguing and fighting, and as a child, you're observing that and observing all this other stuff? It can really play on your mind and create some very big problems. Mental health is an issue that is being faced by a lot of young Australians, but there is a wonderful charity involved in South Australia that is helping to change that. Graduates of SA Charity Youth Opportunities have reported a 53% reduction in the risk of developing a mental health disorder. And I have Chief Executive Officer of Youth Ops, Erin Fairman, on the line to talk about it. Erin, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Paul. Thanks for having me today.
So this has obviously been something that's been going for a long time. As I mentioned, the concepts like divorce and bullying are just two things that I can think of that can play on kids' minds. But of course, there's a lot more at stake there as well. And given the current circumstances that we're going through with COVID-19, it's challenging times, isn't it, for a young mind to deal with all these things?
You're so right. And you said earlier, Paul, that one in four young people these days are saying that they're experiencing mental health challenges, distress at some level. Some of that, of course, is at the diagnosed end of the scale. But just a sense of anxiety and loneliness in our young people is just really crippling. It's really sad to see these young people locked inside themselves, not feeling safe and brave enough to put their hand up in class or to speak out to their loved ones about challenges that they're facing.
I think this is a problem. It's a bit like we spoke before about people that are scared to admit to being caught out in scams. We live in fear, don't we? We're concerned about looking like a fool to our peers. And I guess often it's a case where kids don't want to speak up and say they're going through a tough time.
Yeah, you're so right. That fear of judgment at school, but also by teachers, young people that we work with are often telling us, and we mostly work with teenagers around 15 years old, they are just cripplingly scared to put their hands up, which blows my mind every time I go out and speak with these young people, afraid that their teachers will judge them. But in the same breath, then we'll ask those young people, well, you know, what's your relationship like with your teacher? Do you feel like that you can talk to them and that they're there for you? And they say, oh, yeah, they're always bugging me, saying that all I have to do is ask for help and is there anything I need? But at the same time, there's something that's holding me back from asking for that help.
Mm. Have you seen in recent, let's say even within the last year, that there's been a spike, that the current circumstances have created more fears and more anxieties?
Yeah, I have, Paul. The work that we do in schools here in South Australia, we're certainly starting to see a lot of young people saying that they are very anxious and they are quite lonely. And there's a new phrase that popped up late last year in mainstream rhetoric, climate change anxiety. I hadn't heard of that one before. So a lot of young people really anxious, particularly with the bushfires that happened over the Christmas period, about climate change and broadly their future. What is the future they have for them? And now we look, of course, at COVID and the impacts to our economy, and a lot of people saying that we're headed for recession. And that's really daunting for these young people, many of them who haven't quite worked out still what they want to do when they leave school, which is making it even more overwhelming for them to choose those future career paths.
My guest on the program is Erin Fairman, Chief Executive Officer of Youth Ops. And looking at this 53% reduction in the risk of developing a mental health disorder through working, and there's a variety of skills that we'll talk about now of teaching kids to deal with that. What number of kids are you talking about reaching out to experience that reduction?
Well, at the moment, we get to work with around 2,000 young people every year. In our 22-year or so history, we've worked with around 13,000 young people in South Australia. Of course, they're all out in the world now. We would love to reach more. Our program is suitable for all young people. It's a preventative and early intervention type approach. We, as a charity, do rely very heavily, of course, on the community to support us with donations. So we'd dearly love to get to all of them. but at the moment around about 2,000 a year.
Mm. I'll speak to you in a moment about some of the ways you can help develop these skills to deal with some of these fears. Also on the line I have Helen Macris, who's principal of Birdwood High School. Welcome to the program, Heather.
Thank you very much, Paul.
Talk about some of the experiences you've had with students at your school that have been dealing with some of these fears and how they've overcome them.
Yeah, certainly. Erin covered and painted a picture, but if I probably speak from my perspective as Principal Birdwood High School, if we step back a few months prior to COVID-19, a number of students were already dealing with the impact of the bushfires directly, while for others it really reignited trauma of previous fires, leaving, you know, many of these young people on edge when they were at school. And then with the COVID-19 hitting us and their learning was disrupted and businesses in our local area were affected, which meant families' income were impacted, causing even greater stress for our community and our young people. The fear of the unknown for some of our students, and they live with, you know, members that fall in the vulnerable category, all of this was so much that, you know, really heightened the anxiety, not only for the students but parents. And I think a lot of it rested on the children themselves.
Mm.
So, you know, I must say the program and working in partnership, and we invest in youth opportunities as a school,
mm.
we have seen it as a wraparound support for our young people, which involves our teachers, parents, youth opportunities, trainers, and the students, you know, themselves. And each role in the partnership is, you know, significant to its success. It's like a formula. And at the moment, we've got it just right because for our school, based on the pre and post data, we saw 75% reduction in the number of young people at high risk of developing a mental health disorder.
Mm.
And we saw their attendance at school improve. You know, and we also, you know, at the end of the year, we reviewed the academic performance and their final results for the year exceeded ours and their expectations. So we were most, you know, pleased with the outcome that we achieved.
How long have you been working with Youth Opportunities, Heather?
So I've been working with Youth Opportunities for some time in different, you know, sort of, you know, roles. But when I came to Birdwood High School, I really got invested in learning more about Youth Opportunities. And since 2017, I have actually had the program running every year with 40 students going through the program. And the program and its learnings don't stop when a young person finishes the program. They still continue to use the language and strategies that they're taught and just even around sending stars and using focus blocks as they continue on their education. You know, they really manage their ongoing mental wellbeing. They are encouraged by the Youth Opportunities coaches to focus on their positive thoughts and allow the negative ones to sit lightly. And that's difficult for even adults to do, but they really acknowledge, you know, that the negative sits there and that they exist, but not giving them so much energy these days.
And I can assume that one of the important aspects for this would be that once people have moved on, that they're able, that have been a part of the program as a student, they may be able to come back and offer some support in a role.
Well, I would actually say the most significant change that we've seen is that students can relate to themselves and accept themselves for who they are, but we've also seen that they identify goals which they work to and the strategies, and then we also see that they're supporting their peers when their peers are stressed and also support them how to problem solve. And so the language and terminology is really permeating our school, and we are noticing a little culture shift. Even this year, through the challenges that we've had, we can really see it. And it's something that you not only see it, but you can feel it. And it's a more harmonious, you know, atmosphere at present. So, you know, Youth Opportunities did continue even during our, you know, COVID when we were online learning, we thought it was important to continue this partnership.
My guest on ABC Radio Adelaide Arvos is Heather Macris, Principal of Burwood High School, and Erin Fairman, Chief Executive Officer of Youth Ops. I guess one of the big problems is, and I've, you know, in having a conversation with kids, particularly when it's about things they don't want to talk about, they can clam up very easily and admit to nothing. I guess the first hurdle is to get them to a point of acknowledging there's something that needs to be dealt with. But I feel a key part of that is self-belief, believing in yourself, having that belief to be able to admit something and then be skilled up to be able to deal with things.
Mm. Yeah, Paul, that's an excellent insight. And our program's really based on Heather there, a wonderful advocate, obviously, for the partnership, mentioned our coaches. So, you know, trainers or coaches. Our coaches work with these young people to establish relationships with them so that they can start to open up and then really understand themselves. So as you say, sort of, you know, you mentioned admitting to something being wrong. A lot of the time it's young people trying to work themselves out and have that self-confidence and self-esteem to even just realise that they are wonderful, they are okay, but they're just going through some tough stuff that they need to work through. So sort of finding themselves and what their version of success will look like in the future is actually one of the very first things that we do with them. And critical when we work with these young people, we do work with them in groups and one-on-one. So they all start from completely different places on the program. Some of them are school leaders and they're just not sure what they want to do after school. And then some of them are at the really at the high risk end of the scale and are really struggling. And because we can work with them one-on-one as well as in groups, we can tailor the coaching that we do with them and the small acts of bravery that we can work with them to choose growth. So deciding to grow is one of the concepts in our program. Just small, achievable acts of bravery that help them start to be proud of themselves. You know, little things to some people, it's literally just looking up and smiling at strangers, whereas others might be ready to just go straight into introducing themselves to someone at school that they don't know or putting their hand up in class. But it's that slow, gradual building of their self-confidence and their self-esteem that will get them there in the end.
Mm. Heather, you mentioned that there's an improvement in academic pursuits, and I'm looking at some of the results here that are suggesting, you know, some incredible, you know, moving forward. How important is it to then have that followed up? I mean, it's great that they're getting a better confidence with their teacher and in the school environment. Then they go home. How important is that, that the parents are supportive in this process as well?
I think that's where the parents are a significant part of what I was saying before, the formula, because we do need to do it in partnership. And we know that if we continue the wraparound support services and everyone taking and acting their part and contributing to that individual, they will be you know, more successful down the track. And so our parents are very much so, you know, in this together with us. They're part of that process with Youth Opportunities. They're from the moment that we, you know, invite the mentors and coaches in to the time when it's signed off an agreement with the parents, because they take an active role. And to see the parents' reactions at the graduation ceremony, I know I am a pretty strong person, and I have shed those tears when I see them hand out those stars, and the gratitude that is given and the kindness and the self-reflection of where they were and where they are and where they would like to go. And for some of them, they haven't figured it out just yet where they're going to go, but they know that there is something out there that they can strive towards their goals and dreams, and that with support and in partnership, anything is possible.
It's a very positive story, and I wish you both the very best in moving young minds into, as I said, more positive areas. Erin Fairman, Chief Executive Officer of Youth Ops, thank you for your time, and Heather Macris, Principal of Burwood High School.